Well, there's two firsts that are happening today. One is Pastor Steve is no longer our senior pastor. Now, I got to tell you, I did text him, which is kind of a regular habit, on Tuesday, and I said, how's retirement going? And I called him pastor. I said, oh, is it all right if I still call you pastor? He said, of course it is. And I want to say to you, church, of course it is okay. He will always be dear to our hearts as a pastor that brought us through many years of spiritual and church growth. But what would please him most is that we continue our growth and service as a person and the church. So let's begin today with this message to honor him, and let's keep looking forward. The second first is this. In 22 and a half years, I've never stood in front of you trying to preach any kind of sermon. I don't think Daniel Reclus has either. But we got three other experienced preaching ministers here to 3 out of 5 is not bad. You know, I'm not sure it's going to be as delivered as well, or the outline is as good, or the alliteration, or those great illustrations we're used to help drive home the point. But I do believe the message we hear today is a word from the Lord. And I hope you'll receive it instead of focusing on the person or the persons that are delivering it. I think it's obvious that we need a message of encouragement, perseverance, direction, and hope that God has not abandoned First Baptist Church when Steve left as our senior pastor, our shepherd. He has not abandoned us. Will you keep that in your mind? He has not abandoned us. We are the same church as then and now as then, and God can continue to use us to reach Pflugerville with the good news message of salvation through Christ. What will it take? It's up to each of you, all of us. And we have to stay true to our commitment to serve the Lord through his church. So let's look at our theme that will help keep us focused. Strong together, looking forward. Say that with me. Strong together, looking forward. Why is that? We can be strong because God is strong. We can look forward because God shows us the way. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 31, the Lord himself goes before or ahead of us and will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us or abandon us. So do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God is with us. He will not fail to give us counsel and direction. He will give us strength. So what is our response? The first thing is we place our hope in God. As Moses was preparing the Israelites for Joshua to take leadership from him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, he assured them that there was no need for them to worry about the future because their hope was in God, not Moses. Here's God's promise in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? The second way we respond is to devote ourselves wholeheartedly to God. How do we do that? Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, you must trust the Lord and love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. That's everything, folks, everything that you are, that he makes you because he lives in you, he uses so you can devote yourself wholeheartedly. One way you can do that, this is ad lib, by the way, next Sunday, find somebody and bring them with you to church. Live stream, tell somebody about our link so they'll watch the service. Next week, we get to hear from Dr. Richards from our Southern Baptist Convention, Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. The third thing we do in our response is to focus on three things: renewing our relationship to God. We re-secure it. We re-establish that first love we have with Him. Second thing, do not focus on that our shepherd, Pastor Steve, is no longer with us. You don't focus on that. You focus on renewing your relationship. And third, focus on the purpose we have as a Christian, to be holy as He is holy, to share the good news of Jesus to others. Now, as we focus on these things, God will provide for our every need, even our need for a new pastor. Now, each minister is going to come and talk about five things to help us focus on God. John, come and speak to us about attending.
Well, this is another first. I've never been asked to share any remarks from this pulpit in 3 minutes.
You can do it.
I know I can do it. It's dangerous, Mike, dangerous, especially putting me first. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25 say this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Church family, listen. There's a lot of changes going on, and there's a lot of changes coming, and there's going to be a lot of important things that you need to hear said this morning, a lot of truth about how you can stay involved and plugged in and serve, and give and pray. Here's the bedrock of all of that in verse 23. Listen to what it says: "Hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering." Why? Because God is faithful. That's what we need to hear this morning. A lot of things have changed. God has not changed. You can do much better than that. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is still faithful. The God that took Moses and the children of Israel by the millions across the Red Sea, the God that closed the mouths of lions when Daniel would not bow, would not bend the knee, the God that walked on the water, the God that raised Jesus from the grave. He's still the same God today. Yeah, you've said that. I'm going to say it again. He is still faithful. In fact, 2 Timothy says, when we are faithless, He remains faithful. And we're going to be faithless sometimes. We're going to blow it. We're going to make some mistakes moving forward. But we can trust that the God we seek to pursue as a church for decisions and guidance and help is going to maintain His steadfast faithfulness through it all. And that will never change. Because of that, I think this passage implores us to do a few things. One is to love each other. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love. You know, somebody smarter than I once said, those that deserve love the least are the ones who need it the most. Probably ought to write that down somewhere. We must stimulate, encourage one another to love one another as Christ has loved us and loves the church. Secondly, to live right. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let's keep each other accountable. Let's keep each other encouraged to do what is right, to do what God has called us to do as a church. And that'll be shared some more throughout the comments today. To stay faithful as a fellowship, verse 5, not forsaking our own assembling together. Your presence says a lot here. You can watch the live stream, and some people still do for many good reasons. But if you can be here, you should be here. That's what God's Word says. And encourage each other. But encouraging one another, verse 25, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Many people I've heard say that because of the signs of the time, because of things that are happening, many as echoed in Matthew 24 and 25 and Jesus' Olivet Discourse, that the days are nearer than ever before. And friends, just as sure as God is faithful, you can also bank on this fact. Jesus is coming. Amen. And we are encouraged to encourage one another, to stimulate one another to love and good day, to love and good deeds until the day comes that Jesus returns to take his church home. And we can do that through being faithful, through loving each other, through living right, and through making the choice to be here and to be faithful through the days ahead.
Good morning. We have the honor this morning of being able to be here and standing before you as some of your shepherds. Yes, this is the first Sunday that we don't have our lead shepherd, but as has been shared, God is faithful, and God has taken care of us and will continue to take care of us. And some may say our best days are yet ahead of us, and I believe that too. I believe that God has a pattern of working forward and not backwards. And so we can trust in that. We can rest in a God that is faithful and will take care of us. So maybe you're wondering, as you know that Pastor Steve is no longer with us, maybe you're wondering, who will be doing the work? Who will be doing the ministry? And the answer to that is, we will. And just in case you're wondering, maybe when I said we will, you thought, okay, the five of them will. No, we will. We will as a church. And let me share that with you. Let me share what God's word says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, get this, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, what happens a lot of times when we put our faith in a pastor or in a leader, we begin to fall back and say, he's got it. He'll take care of it. He's the pastor. He's the leader. But what the pastor's job and what our job is to do is to help equip the saints. That's you. So that we can all be a part of the work of the church. God has called us all to be a part of this. Not just five people, not just one person who happens to be the lead shepherd, but all of us. And we need to be together in that. The church, as Paul has explained to us in numerous times throughout Scripture, is a body. And as a physical body needs the other parts of the body to function, we need each other to function. I don't know if you realize this or not, but God has given each and every one of us a gift. At the moment that you gave your life to Christ, he gave you a gift of service, okay? A gift to serve the fellowship. And it could be that you're a great teacher. It could be that God has given you the gift of evangelism, where you just share your faith naturally, although that's something that we're all called to do. But God has equipped each and every one of us with something special. And that gift is meant to strengthen the church. That's why we need each other. So your gift may be to teach or to preach, but we all have been given a gift. The moment we gave our lives to Christ, he gave us a gift to use to further his kingdom. Now, you may have an incredible ability to cook. That's not a spiritual gift. Some may argue with that, but That is a talent, but God wants to use that talent to further your gifts. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality or the gift of mercy. But what can happen in this time is that we can all begin to remember that we've all been given gifts with which to carry on the function of the church. And so that's why it's so important that we come together and we work together and we serve together. Our gift should serve to strengthen the church. And Paul shares in that passage that when we do that, that we will grow. We will grow and mature. And we will become one. We will be unified when we all realize what our gift is and then use that gift to be a part of the body and to minister as a part of the body. We belong to each other. Let me share one more passage with you that further illustrates this. This is in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that is given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. So what Paul is saying there is that we belong to each other. We are a part of this. If you're not here, we miss out. We belong to each other. We need each other. We are one. And in this time that we're without a pastor, as we move forward, may we minister together. May we step in and say, okay, how can I be of help? How can I reach out to maybe someone I haven't seen rather than relying on a pastor to do it? Should the pastors do it? Yes, but we need all the help we can get, especially now. So join with us as we minister together. Join with us in this time as we work together to help carry on the work of the kingdom.
So this morning, Mike confessed to me that he was wearing the same shirt as mine underneath his shirt. And I said, well, that's neat. And I'm a walker, so I gotta find my center point here. And he said, you know what we should do? We should have a Superman moment and reveal our shirt underneath our clothes. I'm like, no, we're not gonna do that. We'll restrain ourselves just a little bit. Well, I'll tell you, when I first came here, Pastor Steve tasked me with a challenge to help brand our church. How do we communicate who we are to the community? How do we communicate who we are to the world? And to sort of soup things up a little bit. And I worked on a lot of different things. But one of the things we needed was a slogan, something short, something concise, something really pithy that could sort of communicate what we're about, that could describe our personality. So I got my whiteboard out and started scratching down some ideas and trying to figure this out a little bit. And we had some discussions with staff. And eventually we landed on the phrase, love big, live bold. Okay? Love big, live bold. Now, that phrase describes who we are because I believe as a church, we want to love our community. We are involved with the Pflugerville Pregnancy Resource Center. We have our food pantry. Our benevolence ministry does some amazing things. We help start the Backpack Friends. We do so much as a church to reach out to our community, to jump in. Think about disaster relief, all the things they do to bring practical help to people, to rescue them. This is a part of our DNA. Another part of our DNA is we're not afraid to stand for God's truth. We're not. We are a courageous body of believers that will not compromise God's word. We are going to love our community, but we're not going to abandon God's direction. We're not going to do that. This is who we are. And the cool thing about love big, live bold, is that not only is it rooted in who we are, but it's rooted in God's word. Now, Mike kind of touched on this a little bit with Deuteronomy, but in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 through 31, it starts off with this. And the people had asked Jesus to name the most important commandment. And this is his response. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Right? And it sort of describes a vertical commandment, our relationship with God. And then he goes on and says in verse 31, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. We want to love God, and our love for God will translate into a love for our community. We want to reach our community. We want to reach them with the love of Christ, with the truth of Scripture. This is our calling. See, love big, live bold isn't just some neat little slogan. It really is our wedding vow to the community. It's our declaration of aspiration. This is who we want to be for you. We want to love you like Christ. We want to send you the truth and communicate that clearly to you and as creatively as we possibly can. This is our wedding vow, our dedication to our community and to the world. Love big, live bold. Now, who here keeps their wedding vows totally perfect? Like, they're like the best person. They've never made a mistake ever, never said anything mean. We don't need to say, you know, a show of hands or anything. We can't keep our wedding vows perfectly. We have all these high aspirations, and they're so good, but that is our goal. It's like Jesus said, be perfect as I am perfect. So we never stop growing. This is our aspiration to the community. We may not perfectly reach our community, but we are going to strive to do better each day. Every day, we're going to try to love big and live bold. See, COVID has made this mission challenging, right? COVID has made this challenging. The culture we live in makes this challenging. Politics makes this challenging, right? Losing our senior pastor has made this mission challenging. Hear me on this. It has never been easy. It's never been easy. From the day one that Jesus called his disciples to the Great Commission, it's never been easy to reach the world and our community with the gospel. It's never been, but it is good. It's so good. We need to keep reaching. Think today about how you can renew this vow.
Well, I want to tell you that the only times that I ever stand in front of a crowd like this is whenever I'm doing a funeral, so you guys are still breathing, so I'm really at a disadvantage here. But you guys remember an old adage about when the cat's away, the mice will play, right? And I think that one of the things that we need to really consider is that we've been challenged today on a lot of levels, and they're all appropriate, they're all important, but it would be real easy to lose focus on one of the most important things that we can do, and that's to pray. Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, he says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Well-known verses. Everybody remembers this passage and quotes it. But we're encouraged to continue to pray and be thankful. The Bible's been called a book of prayer, and for good reason. If you go and do any study or research, like Bible Gateway has 180 passages that mention prayer from the book of Genesis all the way through to Revelation. There's examples of prayer, instructions on how to pray, when to pray, even how not to pray. And these prayers are intercessions. They are spoken by men and women from every conceivable strata of life and society. From peasants to prophets, shepherds to kings, they all pour out their praises, their petitions, their asking for God's blessings and direction. And it's because it's so important. Jesus, who is God's son and had perfect fellowship with his Father, spent so much time with him in prayer that his disciples came up to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They saw a dynamic prayer life. They saw a different prayer life than they had been exposed to in their religious leaders. Everything that Jesus did, every major step in his ministry, he bathed in prayer. He spent 40 days and nights fasting before he started his public ministry, and he was praying that whole time. After praying all night, he chose his 12 disciples in Luke 6:12. He prayed that his followers would be unified at the Last Supper in John 17. His final moments before his arrest in Gethsemane, he spent praying. When the church was established, the disciples prayed. When they chose Matthias to replace Judas as an apostle, they prayed. The early church devoted themselves to prayer, it says in Acts 2:42. Prayer is one of the five foundations of our faith, along with Bible study, fellowship, witnessing, and worship. Prayer is something that we as Baptists do a lot of things with. We talk about it, we analyze it, we study it, we write books about it. We even have meetings that we call prayer meetings, although most of the time we spend in there, we talk about what we're going to pray about rather than actually praying. One of the things we rarely do is stop long enough to actually pray. We don't quiet our hearts individually or together because we're bent toward busyness. If our Lord needed long hours in prayer, how much more do we? During the weeks and the months to come, we need to lift up our church, our transition team, our interim pastor, our staff, and God's new pastor here for First Baptist in Pflugerville. So I want to ask you if you will consider doing a few things. First of all, will you consider and commit to praying for these things that I mentioned every day? Okay, and let me list those again. Okay, our transition team, who are working at finding an interim pastor, our interim pastor, our staff, and God's new pastor. Okay, begin to move towards those things. If you will pray for them daily, then second of all, will you commit yourself to come and join others here at our church or at other venues, corporately gather to lay these needs before God and cry out to Him and remind Him of these needs? Will you do that? Will you pray now with me that God would keep His hand on our fellowship as we minister here together? Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for Your faithfulness to us in the past years. We're so grateful for all that You have done through our pastor, Brother Steve, and we're thankful that we can be together at this time and that You've called us to such a place and for such a purpose, Lord, that You have counted us to be part of that plan and faithful. So we're grateful for those things, but we cry out to You and say, we need You. We need Your guidance. We need Your insight. We need Your wisdom. Lord, we need Your power. We need unity. Lord, just like Jesus prayed at the Last Supper, knowing the stress that the disciples were going to be under, He prayed for their unity. Lord, we pray that You would give us one heart, Father, that we would have grace as we talk to each other, that, Lord, that You would just help us be positive about what You're going to do. Lord, that You would guide us, that You would direct us, that You would bring to us interim that can help us prepare to call the man that You have in mind for us. Lord, we trust You, we love You, we thank You. We pray now that You would do this for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, it's not over yet. I drew the short straw. Yeah, I'm really going to talk about giving, about money. Yes, it's my first time to preach a part of the sermon. Pastor's not here. Here I am talking to you about giving, and money is part of that. It's a necessary topic, but that's not all we have to discuss about giving. But first, let me say a word about giving. Your treasure. It is no different than the other four things that these guys have spoke about. The church needs your treasure. We must have it. It is what supports us to fund our mission for God. We can do a lot of things without money, but there are some things we have to have money for. This building, the air conditioning, the heater, all the other things that you see around and experience. When we focus on our mission, it drives us to give. Here's what the Bible says about our mission. Some call it the Great Commission. I have given all authority in heaven and on earth to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The second word we could say about treasure, God is the owner of everything. And you own absolutely nothing. And last, you can honor God with the tithe. That's at least 10% of what he provides for you. And then give it to the church. Why should we have such a problem talking about money in the church? Jesus talked about it many, many times. God gives it to us to fund his work. The question is, will you give it back to him? If so, then it shows your obedience and that you're a good steward of what God has given you. Now, as well as money, the church also needs your time. Attending, serving, praying, we've heard about these today. Your talent, ministering, and reaching those who do not know Jesus as their Savior. How can we even come close to accomplishing God's given mission to us without you, without your time, without your talents, without your treasure? 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. And that doesn't mean just us within the church. That means people outside the church. We love them into the kingdom. And last, from Romans 12:1, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. In closing, let's continue to do the good work of sharing the good news that we accomplished under Pastor Steve. Your decision is, what is your part? What will you do during this time until God gives us our next shepherd? God may use you in a greater way during this time than he ever has before in this church. In a moment, Daniel is going to come lead us in a song. And as we sing, you may want to come forward to maybe express your recommitment to serve, to renew your love relationship with Jesus, to join our church as a member. And maybe you just need to come and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Whatever your decision is, come now as we stand, as we sing, the ministers will be here to receive you.